on the radio coming across this morning from Huntington, they very gleefully declared that Christmas Eve is 2 weeks today. And that kind of filled me with dread, thinking about all the things that I have to do to get ready for Christmas in the next 2 weeks. As a children's worker in a different circuit, I am busy until Christmas Eve this year, unlike last year when the schools broke up early, a week early before Christmas. Whilst I have ordered my turkey from the butchers and I've ordered my veg from the greengrocers, that's probably about all I've done so far, and there's only 2 weeks to go. One of the things that I have done, and one of the things that I try to do every year, is have a look at all the Christmas adverts and just simply ask the question, where is God? Where is God in all of this? So I wanted to share with you my thoughts on these adverts, if that's okay, if you'd humour me for 5 minutes. So Aldi, I'm going to start with Aldi because Kevin is a particular favourite of mine. I'm not ashamed to say that I've got a couple of Kevin the Carrot plushies under in along my toy collection. And as a 36-year-old, yes, I do have a toy collection and it's fine. They've gone for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory this year, reminding us of the lavish abundance of God's creation and the creative and beautiful nature of the world. A clear message of kindness and sharing among that, though. The people who were greedy and demanding are dealt with or meet the consequences of their greed and selfishness in different ways. A reminder to us that Christmas and life in general is not just about me, 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 but it's a gentle reminder of the meaning of Christmas. That it is good and kind and loving to share our good fortune with everyone. The advert finishes with the phrase, sweeter when you share. Reminded me of something about the feeding of the 5,000, where there was plenty to share and lots left in abundance. I did do a couple of bonus giggles for the cheese to the factory, though, because at the end of the advert, someone gets given the keys, but it's a cheese key. We like cheese, and we appreciated that pun. The next advert that drew my attention, really, was the JD Sports Bag for Life. In every generation, the youth of today are given a hard time, perhaps for being disrespectful and rude, and the fact that they are clearly responsible for the fact that criminality seems to be increasing. There is an interesting thread on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it these days that shows the history of saying this, that throughout every generation, the youth of today have been blamed for the world's problems. But the advert shows that the youth of today are creative and they are expressing dreams, working together, using their skills and talents in different ways, dancing, singing, gaming, all sorts really. The Bag for Life is present throughout all of this. It then cuts to a Christmas scene, Christmas Day, where a young person is sharing with family and friends. They go home with a bag full of food, a bag for life, full of food. The advert finishes with the caption, "Forever Forward." I wonder what the future might look like if we shared together and people were allowed space and time to work on those talents. If people were nurtured and their skills recognised. Now, John Lewis, there is a wonderful nod to the past at the beginning of this advert, where a seed in an old box is bought. It's finally wanted. The seed is planted, but it isn't a Christmas tree as advertised on the box. It's a Venus flytrap. Over time, it grows and grows, and whilst helping in its own way prepare for Christmas, it rips some decorations and doesn't quite get it right. One morning, shortly after we sort of were shown it trying to eat the dog. It's too big for the house, and it's the decision is made to put it outside. But the boy misses his friend and takes a present outside for it. He's then joined by the whole family with other presents, but the Venus flytrap rips them all open. There is a little bit of greed in here, because of all the expensive presents that they are thrown by the Venus flytrap. But there's a good point in there about unusual friends, inclusion of things that are different and unexpected, and also that we are all connected to each other through time as well. I'm pretty sure that Jesus might have been outside with that flytrap sooner than the boy, though. I'm going to skip over Argos and just say they've said, this Christmas there's more to Argos. Isn't there more to this story? Don't we know that there's more to the story of Christmas than gifts? What about love and hope and sharing? Maybe not in that advert, to be fair. Another advert about friendship is Lidl, with they start their advert by saying, with friends like these, you're never alone. A little boy makes a new friend, but it's an unusual one. It's a raccoon that lives in a tree in a garden. There's a sense of loss as they're getting ready for Christmas, though, as a toy is lost and an old ornament broken. But the raccoon searches high and low throughout the city for this toy. There's something wonderful shown about finding unusual friends and searching for things that are lost. And it reminds me of the lost sheep and possibly the lost coin as well. Whilst travelling around the city, the little raccoon overcomes adversity through snow, crossing roads, being chased, to bring the toy back to the boy. But on arrival home, it was mistrusted by the family dog, who does his very best to make him leave. But once the dog realises what the raccoon has done, it understands and goes outside to take a present to it. The music finishes the advert with "Guide the way back home." I wonder how it is that we know we are home. What does home mean to us? What does home look like? I also love that this advert launches the Lidl Toy Bank. This is helping people and sharing. Now, Asda, it's a shame. I love Asda. But their advert this year moves very quickly through the production of Christmas products. Product testing, different ideas and trends, with the aim bringing Mr. Buble your best. It's all a little bit show-offy. I'm so talented, look at me, look at how incredible things are that we are making. Everything is a little bit extra. He just wants the very best. No expense spared. And unfortunately, they have ruined a pun, really, by saying incredibuble. But God wants the very best for us, but not quite in that way. Not in the everything must be spent way, but in the self-giving, honouring of people, life in all its fullness way. You're not going to get that by filling up on fancy goodies and cheese, as much as I would like cheese. In the Sainsbury's advert, there's a question asked at the beginning about Santa. No, not that one, thankfully. But what does he have for Christmas dinner? We are shown different food from all around the world, which is lovely. But again, they say good food for all of us. But it's not all of us, it's good food for all of us who can afford it. What does this say about being the best Christmas, I wonder? What's the meaning of Christmas? Is it good food or is it something more? Amazon also have done a really good advert this year, I think, with three ladies finding a way to sled and recapture their youth with cushions in their sleds. As a deep talk trained person, I absolutely love the idea of adults playing, not like children, but as themselves, rediscovering that joy that comes with play. And it's connecting with our inner children, and we need more of that, to be honest. I think that advert really is life-giving and beautiful. There's also a thing to be said about boots. Another question asked about Santa. Who takes presents to Santa? Who looks after Santa? So they travel to the North Pole, facing adversity, giving gifts all the way to the North Pole to everyone they meet. This is spreading the joy and love in a way. There's smiles all round. But by the time they get to the North Pole, there's no presents left for Santa in the end anyway. Just a tiny one that they picked up on the flight. A pair of flight socks. Perhaps a practical gift. Just what he needs, maybe, as he's going to travel around the world shortly. The song playing is, I'm going to get there somehow. What an assurance of something we're all travelling together. Might be hard, but we are going to get there somehow. Wonder where there actually is, though. The final one that I want to mention, and I am coming to the end of this, so just bear with. Iceland. There's an absence of Iceland this year in the adverts because they've decided not to spend millions and billions on an advert, but instead invest the money into reducing prices for customers. They said, as a business, we were faced with a decision. Do we spend millions creating and sharing an advert, or do we invest the money supporting our customers during the cost of living crisis? This was a no-brainer for us. I am grateful that as a family-run company, we can make the decisions we believe are right for our business and our customers. The retailer has released consumer research which said it demonstrated shoppers would prefer retailers to use their millions to support struggling customers rather than on the glitzy commercials and social media. So I wonder, in all of this glitz and glam, all of this present sharing and food eating, if we can still find time to ask the question, where is God in all of this? Amen. And now we will hear our readings for the day, please.
We start with Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good things. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good things. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. So I'll continue with first letter of Peter, chapter 3. To conclude, you must all have the same attitude and the same feelings. Love one another as brothers and sisters, and be kind and humble with one another. Do not pay back evil with evil or cursing with cursing. Instead, pay back with a blessing, because a blessing is what God promised to give you when he called you. As the scripture says, whoever wants to enjoy life and wishes to see good times must keep from speaking evil and stop telling lies. They must turn away from evil and do good. They must strive for peace with all their heart. For the Lord watches over the righteous and listens to their prayers, but he opposes those who do evil. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, how happy you are. Do not be afraid of anyone, and do not worry, but have reverence for Christ in your hearts, and honour him as Lord.
From St. Mark's Gospel, the preaching of John the Baptist. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Isaiah had written. God said, I will send my messenger ahead of you to clear the way for you. Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel. So John appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching. Turn away from your sins and be baptized, he told the people, and God will forgive your sins. Many people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the River Jordan. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He announced to the people, the man who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The trouble with being in the middle of Advent, or the beginning or the middle of anything, is that we cannot be wholly sure what is happening or where we are going to end up. In 2023, it's difficult to imagine and capture the sense of John the Baptist and emergence of Jesus as something new. Can we learn from Mark's sweeping introduction? Perhaps three questions might help us focus our minds. Are we willing to be sent by God? Are we willing to tell the story of Jesus? And what is needed for people today to see the big picture of Jesus? These three questions can help us to explore the role of John the Baptist. What was the wilderness then, and what is it now? We note the geographical location according to Mark. What is John's role? How does he understand who he is and what he is asked to do? And what is our role in today's wilderness? Where do we and Christians find ourselves now? What does God expect from us now? Remember that the Bible is for today. It's not just simply a record of the past. Part of the fun of the popular Where's Wally books is just how much is going on in each picture. Once you've located the little guy in red and white stripes, there's still plenty of action to look at, plenty of complexity and detail to keep you looking for ages. But if you focus only on the details and fail to zoom out, you will miss the big story. Wally is to be found in so many places. He has adventures all over the world. The whole picture is not to be missed. It's a joy to behold. Life can be like that, especially in the busy run-up to Christmas, with so many details to be attended to. Here today, prompted by Mark's sweeping introduction, is an opportunity to zoom out and look at the bigger picture, God's rescue plan for humankind. When we moved house, we went to IKEA and we bought a lot of flat pack furniture. In fact, our whole kitchen is an IKEA kitchen because when it came to planning the kitchen, they were the best and the most helpful. This meant, though, that we had to put everything together ourselves. Now, you know my husband, Mark Harrison, and how practical he is. In the space and time it took me to put together one coffee table with four legs and a shelf underneath, he had put together four cupboards in the kitchen and put them on the wall. Flat pack furniture, it's a bit like Marmite. It's either something that you love and get on with really well and know how it works, or you don't, and you look at the instructions and they might as well be written in a different language because you don't understand what they're asking you. That's me. So, starting with all the parts laid out and with seemingly minimal instructions, how do we put this together? The experience can be highly frustrating. Perhaps the things that keeps us going through the pain barrier of construction is the knowledge of what the end result might, or should, or will be. The image of the piece of furniture we have seen in the store and visualised in our house is our inspiration. With flat pack furniture, and even more importantly, our lives and our faith, the struggle of trying to make all the parts add up to the full picture can be very difficult at times. Keeping in mind the vision of what this is all really about, therefore, is so important. It motivates us and helps us to keep going. There's something vital in knowing that there is a bigger picture. Similarly, when you are starting a jigsaw, what is it that you start with? Because in our house, myself and Mark have massive disagreements about how to start a jigsaw, because he will go for all the outside pieces and I will try to group all the pieces into what I think is each area of the jigsaw. So there's two activities going on and they don't help each other. Sharing a bit of a glimpse into our married life here, aren't I? Anyway. But again, you have the box, hopefully, unless you bought it secondhand. You have the box which shows you the picture of what the jigsaw is going to be, but each piece is only a tiny piece of the puzzle. It's not the bigger picture. We need to remember that too. I'm a bit late this year in getting ready for Christmas, I was saying to Jocelyn in the vestry. Because of everything going on at work, everything of mine is still in a pile to be done. One of the things that I've normally started by now is writing my Christmas cards or watching Christmas movies. And Christmas is definitely the season for movies. When the weather's like this, when it's not light outside, and when you just want a bit of comfort, maybe. So I wonder what your favourite Christmas film is. Perhaps it's The Mighty Elf, or the classic It's a Wonderful Life, or maybe it's the best retelling, and I'm saying this, and I know that you haven't got tomatoes in your hand, so it's fine. Maybe it's the best retelling of the Charles Dickens classic, The Muppet Christmas Carol. No, nobody's got tomatoes, you're fine. Or maybe is it Home Alone? And I'm going to go there as well. Is it Die Hard? Because there's a debate about whether that's a Christmas film or not. Anyway, I digress. There's something really reassuring about a favourite Christmas movie. It's often so familiar because you crack it out every year. You can be assured that there are no nasty shocks or surprises to come, and you can probably recite most of the script. The what's your favourite Christmas movie question is one piece of the jigsaw that is, for many of us, the story of our Christmas. Other pieces might include the food, the relatives, the trees, the carols, the nativity plays, the holly, family rituals, the wrapping of Christmas presents where you inevitably lose the sellotape several times. Anyway, the Christmas story itself is also something of a jigsaw where the pieces include stars and angels, mangers and kings and shepherds. So many bits and pieces that make up Christmas. Now, I've had the privilege of telling the Godly Play Christmas story to many groups of different people. One of the questions that you ask at the end of showing them each of the characters and going through the story is, what of this story can we leave out and still have everything we need? And people sometimes say, maybe the sheep, but then without the sheep we wouldn't have had the shepherds. Without the shepherds we wouldn't have had the angels. Without the angels, we wouldn't have had the glad tidings. I surprised myself by saying once, maybe we didn't need the cow. And for those who know me, I'm really a fan of cows. Because what did the cow add to the story? But then again, there wouldn't have been a manger without the cow. So even the cow's valuable to the story. Each of us are valuable to God's story in that same way too. But it can be disconcerting when we bump into this week's gospel reading. The story of a man in the desert baptising people perhaps isn't one of the pieces. Does it even belong in our Christmas countdown? While Mark doesn't start his gospel with Jesus' birth, indeed he doesn't mention it at all. But this is where he begins Jesus' story. He tells us something that nativity plays generally do not. He tells us that the story of Jesus is about the whole of creation standing on the brink of a total and radical transformation, a new beginning with God through the transforming presence of Jesus. There are so many different pieces that come together to make our Christmas. When the big day arrives, the pieces in view may be those that relate to the success of our Christmas day, not serving a frozen turkey like I did 3 years ago, as a human and a family activity. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture, beyond the table and the stable. All this is about the arrival of a man who was God. Yes, born in a stable, but a man who will baptise with the Holy Spirit so that we may be transformed, so that all creation can be restored, so that through him we can find a true and transformed life with God, our Maker. That is the story of Christmas. There's a fascinating song and a hymn written by the hymn writer Brian Wren, which focuses on John the Baptist, and it's called Welcome, the Wild One. Welcome the wild one, the desert declaimer, urgently, awesomely, crying his news. Now, listen now. There is one who comes after. I am unfitted to fasten his shoes. Camel hair coated, unkempt and unbending, living off grasshoppers, honey and briars, knee deep in water, he heals the impending flame. Flame-giving spirits, enveloping fires. Hear from the herald, the king who's expected. World-ending wrath is the power he describes. God's own anointed, outspoken, uncensored, judging the palace, the priests and the scribes. See now the young one who lingers and listens, standing intent in the buzz of the throng, waiting in line on the brink of decisions, seeking the spirit that beckons through John. Gaspingly drenched by the people's baptizer, drowned in the grief of our groanings and cries, bowing beneath God's unfettered outsider, rising envisioned, he opens his eyes. Welcome God's love child, anointed, invested, desert impelled by the spirit within, world-making love, shining, tempered and tested, now is at hand, let salvation begin. Amen.